You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Here we are, August 23rd, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to Rumble right now and enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, and join us in studio. Just like watching me on TV again, only I make it very clear, I'm not giving you news. This is news and commentary. So, yes, I will speak my mind on various stories. You can also subscribe and get this delivered to your email on a daily basis. And any previous programs, if you miss them, you can go to our podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Subscribe. It's free. We do not sell your information. So we are looking at the final primary day of August. We got some key elections underway in Florida, New York, Oklahoma. New York involves a lot of districts redrawn and Democrats battling against Democrats. But in Florida, there's a very big thing there. You've got Governor DeSantis, who is running unopposed in the primary. He's facing three Democrats. These three Democrats, whoever comes out on top, will end up going against DeSantis come November. One is Congressman Charlie Crist running against, who's already served as a governor once, running against State Ag Commissioner Nikki Freed, the only statewide elected Democrat. And Crist lost his gubernatorial bid back in 2014. And then he was elected to serve as governor in 2006 as a Republican. He switched parties, now going back to the other party. And then Crist has raised more money than Freed, but most polls show Crist leading Freed and DeSantis leading both in hypothetical matchups. We'll see how that shakes out. Oh, this word coming out of Georgia, where we have a Senate race involving Herschel Walker, who has the endorsement of former President Trump. Walker's first-time political foray. He's made some missteps. There have been allegations made against him. I don't know how accurate they are. That's for the voters of Georgia to decide, and also decide maybe he did do that, but it's time to protect our state from the leftists and or that they're not bad compared to what some of the others have on them. For instance, one of the candidates he's facing would be Senator Raphael Warnock, who, of course, got elected the last time around because, again, we did not run that election properly. I didn't say fraud. I just say it was not run properly. But take note of this. His ex-wife is now claiming that he got behind in child support. So apparently to clean it up and look like he's a good father, Senator Raphael Warnock, Democrat of Georgia, has apparently spent more than $60,000 in campaign funds for child support. That's a no-no. It's not supposed to go to private. It's for your campaign. Oh, I'm sure he's going to pay it back. Don't you reckon? Of course, Larry, come on. A California district attorney found that more than, hear this, a California district attorney has found that more than 70% of criminal suspects released on $0 bail between 2020 and 2021 just in his county committed new crimes. I see you shaking your head. And, of course, we don't really want to smile about it, but could you not believe that was going to happen? The California Judicial Council in April 2020 implemented the statewide emergency bail schedule, or zero bail. Makes criminal justice system more fair, those to get released if they can't afford it. 70% of them released ended up back facing a judge again, where they again often got a $0 bail. Liberal mega donor George Soros, meanwhile, defending his support of progressive district attorneys in a Wall Street Journal entry. He places the blame on Republicans for rising crime. He said, you can't blame me. My research says otherwise. Violent crime is up in jurisdictions without reform-minded prosecutors. I don't know what he's looking at, but I just read you one. How do you explain that one, George Soros? So that's one of many, and that's one county, 70%. Paul Pelosi, multimillionaire husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, pleading guilty. You get a jail term of actually 5 days. Not just DUI, but actually caused a wreck. 5 days, Paul Pelosi moves on.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, this expose in Vanity Fair shows Dr. Fauci and his acolytes once again trying to suppress and trying to block any scientists who disagree with them. This is more like what you'd see from a mafia don than from a government bureaucrat or scientist. If you disagree with him, they come down on you hard and they try to suppress anybody with a different opinion. It happened to three famous epidemiologists from Stanford, Harvard, and Oxford. Now this is a scientist as well that they say, let's do everything we can to try to suppress his opinion.
And they did. And they came down hard. That is Senator Rand Paul, Republican Kentucky, talking about how Dr. Fake is described in Vanity Fair magazine article just recently out, saying there were definitely heavily-handed tactics, a siege mentality at the National Institutes of Health, because it all happened when one latest example they're focusing on. An evolutionary biologist, Jesse Bloom, presented the draft of an unpublished scientific paper about the origins of the COVID-19 virus. He was looking at the origins, and he had written this draft and sent it to National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease Director, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Fake, and two of his colleagues, evolutionary biologist Christian Anderson and virologist Robert Gary. Bloom's paper suggested the virus came from a lab. Well, that contradicted Dr. Fake's stated belief, and that's where the fight started, and Rand Paul's initial response to the Vanity Fair article.
Well, this expose in Vanity Fair shows Dr. Fauci and his acolytes once again trying to suppress and trying to block any scientists who disagree with them. So there's this Jesse Bloom, who's an evolutionary virologist, who thinks that the structure of the virus indicates that it, in all likelihood, came from a lab. Out of courtesy, he asked for a meeting with Dr. Fauci. They come in, they tell him he shouldn't publish his paper. They say that it's a heated discussion. And then one of them says, well, if you publish it, I can get it done, but I'll edit it and take care of it. Let me see your paper, and I'll take care of it.
Yeah, I'll take care of it. In other words, you go ahead and do your little article, and I'll do like Larry Connors used to do with his broadcast students. Mark it all up with red, write shallow across the top of it. I did sometimes. I plead guilty. I mean, my daughter saw me grading papers one time and said, Dad, that's so hurtful. You write red all over their paper and then shallow at the top. I mean, it's demeaning. I said, I'm going to make them better. I'm not going to give them praise when they don't deserve it. They're going to earn it. You don't get a participation prize in my class. You have to earn it. I also told them in the beginning of the year, it's going to be very easy to grade some papers. I just take a razor blade and slash a vein and drip blood all over your, everything red all over your paper. God, I wouldn't want to work under Larry Connors. I'd rather work under Dr. Fake, you think? Bottom line is, mine got better, but in this case, Dr. Fake was trying to CYA, you know, cover your arse. So he and his colleagues said, yeah, you go and do it. I'll edit it. I'll take care of it. And again, here's Senator Rand Paul.
I mean, it's really alarming. And this is what I tried to bring out in the last committee hearing is that they will do anything. This is more like what you'd see from a mafia don than from a government bureaucrat or scientist. If you disagree with them, they come down on you hard and they try to suppress anybody with a different opinion.
And they do. And if, like a mafia don, as he said, if they don't like what you're doing, you sleep with the fishes. Yeah, that's it. We'll wrap you in fish paper or your feet in concrete and drop you into the river. Of course, it wasn't just Dr. Fake. It was all those around him. And, of course, Dr. Rochelle Walensky of the CDC deserves her fair share of blame. There's a thin line between credit and blame, and she's falling on the blame side. As she's already admitted, her agency had 75 years to prepare for something like this, and we failed. We fell short. But she doesn't blame herself. She doesn't look in the mirror. It's got to be the others out there. We didn't have a good plan. We weren't ready. Well, who the hell was in charge? Oh, that would be you. Not all 75 years, I understand that. But when you got the position, what'd you do? Just sit down and say, I'd like to start decorating. I want new curtains in here, a new carpet. I want a better-looking chair. And can you see if you can get me a better-looking desk? Was that your biggest concern? And then you get World Health Organization director and the lie he gave us from the beginning, taking China's word and repeating it because he got elected to the World Health Organization director general position with the help of a vote from China. There's payback for you. And he said, the Chinese coronavirus pandemic demonstrated we need a stronger, more empowered organization. He said the pandemic has demonstrated not only why the world needs WHO, but why the world needs a stronger, empowered. Here we go. Here's the payoff. I knew I'd find it. Sustainably financed WHO. In other words, give us more dollars, things will get better. How's that work for you normally when you have a problem at home? Do you throw a lot of money at it and things get better? In some cases, it might. But over a period of time, you run out of dollars. And as Margaret Thatcher had pointed out previously, socialism only works until you run out of the other guy's money. And in this case, exactly, He expressed pleasure in seeing reported cases and deaths reaching the lowest levels since the start of the pandemic. He failed to mention, of course, that vaccines do not stop the transmission of the virus. Well, I thought we were told that in the beginning, weren't we? Well, that was another one of the Dr. Fake flip-flops. But he got called on it on Fox News Channel's Your World with Neil Cavuto the other day, asking about this issue of vaccines.
There's no doubt that the vaccines themselves, particularly vaccine plus a booster at the appropriate time when you become eligible for a booster, for more than one booster, if you're over 50 years old, you get eligibility for two boosters. One of the things that's clear from the data, that even though vaccines, because of the high degree of transmissibility of this virus, don't protect overly well, as it were, against infection, they protect quite well against severe disease leading to hospitalization and death.
Well, that might explain that Joe Biden is still breathing. I don't know. I mean, there's a guy that has been the same guy that once he's in office said, we didn't have the vaccines till I got here. And Joe and VP Harris got their vaccinations in December before he was inaugurated in January. Got both doses. And have since had numerous boosters. For what good? And that's the confusion for a lot of people anyway. I mean, I run into people all the time said, you know, I got my vaccine. I got my second vaccine. I got a booster, and I still came down with COVID. I said, nowadays, everybody has COVID. It may appear just as sniffles, a headache. I think I had a touch of it again the other day over the weekend. It's gone. But everything gets labeled and relabeled and puts everyone into fear and alarm. Now, do not get me wrong, please. I'm not anti-vax. I think it has done a good job and saved lives. I have no doubt it has. And I thank Trump that he got the pharmaceutical companies to cut all the red tape that takes 7 to 8 years before they reach an approval. But every vaccine out there is still on an emergency approval, pending full approval, but it's needed now. But I think it has had a benefit, and I've lost a dear relative to COVID, so I don't take this lightly, my friend. And I'm not mocking anyone. I'm not mocking anyone, even if you're wearing your mask dropped under your chin while you smoke a cigarette. I think it looks stupid, but I'm not mocking you. Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe the cigarette smoke nicotine will chase away the virus, all I know. But again, Dr. Fauci's defending the vaccines.
One of the things that's clear from the data, that even though vaccines, because of the high degree of transmissibility of this virus, don't protect overly well, as it were, against infection, they protect quite well against severe disease leading to hospitalization and death. And I believe that's the reason, Neil, why at my age, being vaccinated and boosted, even though it didn't protect me against infection, I feel confident that it made a major role in protecting me from progressing to severe disease. And that's very likely why I had a relatively mild course.
And that may well be true. And it certainly may help. And again, depending on your age, you might want to consider. I say you decide, you consult with your doctor and make a decision. The problem we've had with Dr. Fake is he flip-flops all the time. And then later admits it, but almost like, well, you understand why. Remember in the beginning, you don't need no stinking mask. You don't need to worry about it. And then later admitted, you got to wear a mask, had to be in a mask all the time. In the beginning, I said, you don't need it because we were short a mask for first responders. We need to make sure they got their share of them. Well, then in that case, I'd say between you and Dr. Rochelle Walensky, you blew it. You didn't prepare this nation for such a pandemic. You were short of masks for your nurses, your doctors, and all the first responders. Then you get hit by a pandemic. You know the meaning of pandemic. I assume you did some science study. You know it means everyone is susceptible. And you didn't have masks for everyone and then some. And, of course, Dr. Fake has been targeted repeatedly by Senator Rand Paul because the Kentucky Republican senator holds his feet to the fire each and every time and will not let him get away with nonsensical answers and misstatements and changing and flip-flopping. And so now, Senator Rand Paul, you're being blamed for all the problem. And, in fact, Dr. Fake says that the real problem we have in the country right now is Rand Paul.
The last time we had a committee or the time before, he was accusing me of being responsible for the death of 4 to 5 million people, which is really irresponsible. And I say, why is he doing that? There are two reasons why that's really bad. The first is it distracts from what we're all trying to do here today, is get our arms around the epidemic and the pandemic that we're dealing with, not something imaginary. Number two, what happens when he gets out and accuses me of things that are completely untrue is that all of a sudden that kindles the crazies out there, and I have life that threats upon my life, harassment of my family and my children with obscene phone calls because people are lying about me.
Could be because you've lied so much that you've endangered them and their children. I'm not in favor of such threats, neither Senator Rand Paul. But I didn't hear all those on the left crying out when the threats were made against Supreme Court justices because of their ruling reference abortion. But coming up, I want you to hear from Senator Rand Paul regarding children and vaccines.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And Americans should all know this. There are no studies on children showing a reduction in hospitalization or death with taking a booster. The only studies that were permitted, the only studies that were presented, were antibody studies. So they say if we give you a booster, you make antibodies. Now, a lot of scientists would question whether or not that's proof of efficacy of a vaccine. If I give you 10, or if I give a patient 10 mRNA vaccines and they make protein each time or they make antibody each time, is that proof that we should give 10 boosters, Dr. Fauci?
I think that is somewhat of an absurd exaggeration.
Well, that is the proof that you use. Your committees use that. That's the only proof you have to tell children to take a booster is that they make antibodies. So it's not an absurdity. You're already at like 5 boosters for people. You've had, 2 or 3 boosters. It's like, where is the proof?
Yeah, where is the proof? Because once again, and this is difficult for parents because you want to do what's right by your child and take care of them. Now, every child 6 months of age or older is eligible to get a COVID-19 vaccine. And not only that, they're encouraging that if you have a child that age or older, then you definitely should get them. If you're getting a child under the age of 5, then do check the eligibility with the vaccine location for your visit. But all children ages 5 and older are eligible. And now 6 months of age and older, that still says nothing about those in the womb at the time that might be 30 days, 3 days, 3 months from birth. It doesn't say anything about mom getting the vaccine. Now, they're claiming and are going to tell you over and over again, we have now fully approved vaccines for children. But they can't possibly give you details on exactly when and how and so forth because, you know, they don't have the history. We're still going through this. And whether or not they proclaim it's no longer experimental, it's experimental. If you don't have a long-term history of not only the kids and how it affects them within a period of time, but then also what happens to their children when they end up having kids. But FDA has authorized Moderna and Pfizer BioNTech for kids down to 6 months of age. And yes, the questions persist. Can a child's health be affected adversely? There are numerous cases where for most, they have no effect, and I stress for most, but health officials are monitoring what they call rare occurrences of myocarditis and pericarditis after vaccination. That's inflammation of the heart. Same thing has happened to mostly men in middle age. And then, of course, the other issue. And this is the one that you should keep at the top of your list all the time. Of 4.4 million COVID-19 deaths, 0.4%, 17,000 involved children. And that number is really high because that's looking overall. If you look to just the U.S., 550 children have died from COVID-19. A loss of any child is such a loss. But now some school districts want to make sure they have their vaccine before they can go back into school. I feel for the parents that are trying to make the right decision for their child. The information's incomplete, and it's basically being forced on you and your child. And then you should know what's happening in defiance of the Supreme Court. In defiance of the Supreme Court. What the New York City is doing regarding gun laws. They continue to fight back.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Let me point out to you that a little bit of history very quickly. And you may personally be aware of this. Maybe you hadn't even thought of it. But we had the Gun Control Act passed in 1968. Do you know prior to that time, handguns, rifles, shotguns, ammunition were commonly sold over-the-counter, just like anything else you get, or you could get them through mail order catalogs and magazines. Send in your check, and they would send whatever rifle, shotgun, ammo you wanted. We did not have mass shootings then. We didn't have guns killing people left and right. The culture's changed, not the guns, not the weapons. And just recently, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that an objective standard for gun permits does not require exercise of judgment, formation of opinion, specifically referring to New York. No historical basis for New York to declare the island of Manhattan a sensitive place, and therefore they have to stop what they were doing in you getting a gun permit to carry or to get a gun. It wanted to make, in 2 weeks, turn New York into the fact that you can get a gun, but also would still require an in-person interview with law enforcement and that you must have good moral character. That is in direct defiance of the latest Supreme Court decision. Joining us to break that down is John R. Lott joining us. And John, of course, representing the Crime Prevention Research Center, the president. John, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me on.
So what are the chances that even though we have a Supreme Court ruling, New York is going to go throw it right back in the face of the court and say, we're going to do what the hell we want to?
Well, I think they're taking advantage of the fact that they know most of the lower courts are controlled by Democrats. And so they can delay this for a number of years. You're going to have a district court judge who's going to hold on to it for maybe a couple of years, and then it's going to go to the appeals court. And then eventually it will work its way up to the Supreme Court, but it may be 5-6 years before the Supreme Court is able to go and deal with this. So, you know, it's just a question of delaying.
So despite the Supreme Court ruling, what's the status in 2 weeks when the new gun control law takes effect that supposedly turns New York, as you wrote in a piece, into a giant gun-free zone, but still requires in-person interview and sharing of all social media accounts to get a gun license?
Well, most likely the law will go into effect, and people are already trying to challenge it. But, you know, it's going to depend upon what type of local judge that they get, and then it's going to work its way gradually up the food chain there. So my guess is, you know, it's a fairly high chance that their law is going to go into effect for some period of time. And so, look, as you say, the original ruling was that you had to have objective reasons for issuing a permit for people to be able to carry their guns.
Yeah, like maybe I make a nightly deposit from a bar and I need a gun for protection.
Right. Well, I mean, like in Missouri right now or Illinois, once you're a certain age and you pass criminal background check and you pay your fee, you're automatically granted a concealed handgun permit. It's up to you whether you want it or not. In the 7 states, including New York, up until recently, you've had to do those types of things. But then in addition, you've had to go to some public official and explain to them why you think you should be able to have a concealed handgun for protection. And then they would decide whether or not they think you had a good reason or not. It was a very arbitrary decision, depending upon what public official you went to, for example, whether or not you would get it granted.
And the New York Attorney General claims if we don't get to enforce the way we think it should be done in the state of New York, we're going to have entirely predictable chaos.
Right. No, exactly. And, you know, that's the argument that Democrats and gun control activists have been making for years with regard to these things. But look, we don't need to guess. We have the other 43 states in the United States have right to carry type laws where you have objective rules for whether or not somebody's going to be able to go and carry or not. So it's not really, you can look to see whether there's been that chaos. And none of the states that have moved from these so-called may issue type rules where you have to give a good reason to right to carry type rules have even held a legislative hearing on reversing the change, or let alone a vote in the state legislatures.
You point out something. I'm sorry. You point out in this piece that Supreme Court Justice Breyer, arguing against it, said, quote, people of good moral character who start drinking a lot, who may be there for a football game or some kind of soccer game, can get pretty angry at each other. And if they each have a concealed weapon, who knows?
Right. Well, I mean, is that possible? Yeah, sure. But we have we have over 21.5 million concealed carry permit holders in the United States. Laws have been in effect for many decades in these states. You would think if Breyer's scenario was relevant, you should be able to point to a number of cases like that. But yet there isn't a single recorded incident like that that's occurred.
So, and keep in mind that when you said that's permit carriers, states like Missouri and others have simply gone, we have the Second Amendment. You don't need to have a permit. You've already got that by the U.S. Constitution.
Right. So, but look, one thing is very clear is that permit holders are incredibly law-abiding. They're convicted of firearms-related violations at about 1/12 the rate that police officers are. They have a revocation rate about 0.1 percentage point for any reason. For firearms-related violations, you're talking about thousands of 1 percentage point, so that's 0.001%. And usually the permit revocations occur for fairly trivial reasons, like somebody forgetting to have their permit with them when they're carrying. Go ahead.
And is it true that guns most often used in crime, where they're being used and found to be connected to the shooter, were either illegally obtained or the person themselves and illegally obtained would apply also, but they were not, because of prior convictions, not allowed to have one anyway, and it's not law-abiding citizens that are the issue. It's the thugs and gangsters, and they don't really care what law you put on the books. They're going to go by the law of what they've got in their hand.
Well, look, things like these gun-free zones actually encourage crime.
Yes.
And the reason why they do is because these criminals go to places where they know victims aren't going to be able to defend themselves. It's what happens with these mass public shootings. There's a reason why 96% of the mass public shootings have occurred in places where guns are banned. These murderers want to get news attention, and they know the more people they kill, the more news attention that they're going to get. And they know if they go to a place where victims aren't able to defend themselves, it's going to be easier for them to kill more people. Look, just read the diaries, read the manifestos for these people. The news media refuses to report on this, but if you look at something like the Buffalo shooter's manifesto, he explicitly spends a great deal of time explaining why he picked the target that he did. And right up there at the top was his explanation that he wanted to go to a place where he didn't think anybody would have concealed handgun.
Right.
Because that would make it much more difficult. But yet the media refuses to go and mention that fact.
Or they go the other way, John, and that is like the shooter in the courtyard restaurant in a shopping mall recently, the 20-year-old that was carrying, 20-plus-year-old, the guy comes in, he's got extra mags and everything else, and it takes him a little bit of time to reach the guy, but then fires 10 shots at him, hits him 8 times, puts an end to it, it's over. But there's a sign posted outside that shopping mall, no guns allowed. Well, if he'd left his in the car, you know he had had high casualty rate. Your last 30 seconds, sir.
Yeah, look, the media wants to keep claiming that these types of instances are rare where people use guns to stop these attacks. What's rare is the media giving it news attention when it happens. People can go to our website at crimeresearch.org, and we have literally dozens of cases in just the last few years where people who are legally carrying guns have stopped what police had said would have been a mass public shooting with many casualties if it hadn't been for the presence of a concealed carry permit holder, but yet the media refuses to give national news coverage to those types of cases, and
well,
they occur time after time.
We're going to fight back against them. We'll fight back against them, and again, you can go to his website, as you heard, crimepreventionresearch.com. John,
crime research.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We'll have it correctly on our Facebook page. John Lott, Jr., the president. Thank you very much for your time, John, as always.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Coming up, you want to stop immigration? Start dropping illegal immigration. Start dropping them in front of homes of elites.
podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottner Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottner, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottner.com, Rottner Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want to put something on the screen right now. This is from the New York Times. They've been covering this pretty in depth. And this is from over the weekend. They wrote, the city's early response to the influx of migrants was marked by weeks of flailing and missteps, deeply at odds with the gimme your huddled masses rhetoric of Mayor Eric Adams. Some families slept at an intake office in the Bronx in violation of the law. Some were separated by bureaucratic snafus. And advocates said the city often failed to provide basics like food, diapers, and medical attention.
Wow, that's pretty indicting, isn't it? That's an NBC reporter reading direct from the New York Times about how New York City is failing to handle illegals bussed into the New York City area from Texas. Governor Abbott has sent maybe 8,000 illegals in that area, about the same into D.C. And Eric Adams has said, well, this is not right. It's not fair. They shouldn't be doing that. And same thing with D.C. Mayor Bowser. And, of course, earlier this month, she asked the Biden Department of Defense, we need the National Guard. Believe it or not, Biden's Pentagon rejected the request, not once but twice. According to a letter they sent to the city, the Defense Department said use of the D.C. National Guard would be inappropriate and would hurt the overall readiness of the troops, forcing some to cancel or disrupt military training. And also said, we're concerned about getting uniformed military members in direct contact with migrants to provide food, sanitation, other support, because we have no real experience or training for that. Biden had previously said, we're worried about the optics of pro-sanctuary city Democrats like Bowser sounding the alarm on illegal immigration. That was after she said, we're reaching a tipping point in D.C. All these buses coming, that's a crisis. She would not know a crisis, much less know how to spell it. The Biden administration certainly has not admitted there's a crisis, even chaos at the border. They simply say everything's doing just fine. But they're absolutely ignoring the reality of what's happening on the border. The Del Rio Sector Patrol agents apprehended nearly 3,500 who illegally crossed the border from Mexico into Texas over the weekend. 1,200 crossing in six large groups. More than 500 gotaways. In other words, they never got their hands on them. They just ran off into the wilderness. Maybe they survived, maybe they didn't. So back to the NBC program and the question from the anchor to his subject of his interview, and that would be the NYC Commissioner of Immigrant Affairs, Manuel Castro, after he read him how badly the New York Times said you are failing.
This is New York City. This is supposed to be the greatest city in the world. So what's happening?
Again, Governor Abbott did not give us any warning that he would be sending people to New York City. And as nonprofits like Catholic Charities have indicated, they started to receive people out of nowhere. And it's a situation that we are all trying to adjust and meet the moment. But the truth is that New York City has embraced asylum seekers. We've responded by bringing together a coalition of nonprofit organizations, such as Catholic Charities, but many others that are rallying around these asylum seekers, and we're providing shelter, we're providing food and all kinds of services.
Right, but Catholic Charity says they've never seen anything like this. Clearly they're feeling the pressure. The city is requesting thousands of hotel rooms, thousands of migrants are still coming. The shelters are already full in the city. We have a problem with the homeless here. How are we going to house all these migrants?
Look, we're a right-to-shelter city, and anyone that needs a bed, any family that needs assistance, we'll provide it to them. We're adjusting. We're adding capacity.
Yeah, we're adding capacity. And the fact, he said, Governor Abbott didn't give us a warning. Well, he did say in advance, and the first buses went to D.C., and the warning you should have gotten from the Biden White House, because they're the one who said, the border's open. Come on across. And Alejandro Mayorkas says, not done anything to stop it. VP Harris, given the position of taking control of the border crisis, has not visited the border but one time in a very, very sanitized section of El Paso. Biden has not been to the border. Democrats shy away from it. Just too busy, too busy. But you start dropping illegals on their doorstep, and suddenly, we can't handle this. But you expect everyone that lives along the border and the border states to handle it. I have long said, and I'll repeat again, for all of you leftists who want to be so humane about illegals coming in, why don't you agree to open up your house for them or your backyard? For that matter, if you want zero people in jail, as some of the leftists are advocating, why don't you say, if you will release them for 6 months in my custody, let them stay in your house for 6 months. You want to do that? Oh, not in my backyard, not in my house, your backyard house. That's okay. The hypocrisy stinks to high heaven. As always, thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.